Theme, but it's important. That's why the Lord gave it to us. And sometimes when it seems like the Lord is telling us again and again, maybe it's because we didn't listen the first time. Amen. Proverbs, we remember, is a comparison book. It's a practical book. It helps us in daily life, daily decisions. It gives us the consequences, good or bad, of good or bad decisions, choices. I've often said, and preachers have, you can do anything you want to if you're willing to pay the price in the results. It's a wonderful thing when you get saved if you let God change your want to think like He wants you to think, choose like He wants you to choose, instead of just going the way of the natural urges of the flesh and the natural way of a depraved, fallen sinner and a depraved world. It's 36 verses in this 8th chapter, Proverbs, of course written by Solomon, believed by the world from the evidence, the decisions he made, and God's blessing on him to be the wisest man that ever lived. And his books, his writings, are called books of wisdom. And so we find wisdom as we start off right here in chapter 8. It says, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice?" You'll find that wisdom is personified, so to speak, in the book of Proverbs. And while some will say, well, Proverbs is pretty rough on women. No, it just tells the truth on everybody, good and bad. And on the positive side, here it personifies wisdom in the female gender, she, called she several times. And rightfully so. And at the same time gives us warnings. Now, we finished up chapter 7 with this last verse, verse 27. Well, verse 26 and 7. "For she," talking about the bad woman that's being warned against, "for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death." What a warning. And the young man, in detail in chapter 7, was given that warning. So then it says, "Doth not wisdom cry?" In other words, it wants attention. It's not hard to find. In fact, we keep reading. It says in verse 2, "She standeth at the top of the high places, and by the way, for the places of the paths." In other words, it's available. In James chapter 1, might do you good to turn over there. Turn over to James chapter 1. Early verses of James. Again, James is close kin in a way to Proverbs, because it deals with you on practical, everyday stuff that you live with, that you have to deal with, not in theory, but in fact and in reality. And James says this. I see some of you still looking. It's in your Bible. All right, I'm being facetious. If you get to Hebrews, go to your right. And pick up James chapter 1. Let's start looking in about verse 5. Somebody says, "How do I get wisdom?" Well, here's a beginning part of getting it. It's not the whole thing. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that waveth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord," though he didn't ask in faith. But thinking about this, the promise is to ask and it'll be given. But now let's don't abuse that. I believe this with all my heart. If you knew you had a test coming and you didn't study for it, there ain't no need to pray in this prayer the next day. You're not fooling God. You're not turning him on and off like a light bulb. You're not tricking him. We ought to do everything God tells us, which, by the way, and I'm talking to college now, he does tell us to study. Like it or not, he really tells you if you want to be approved, you study. Amen? And yet, I do believe it's right to pray about your studying, to pray about your test, to pray about it all. But make sure you're also putting feet to those prayers, and those feet are outlined in the Bible, what you're supposed to be doing. So he says in this chapter, 36 verses, I'm debating whether I can read them all and my length of time, maybe scan some of it. Speaks of her personified. She cries, verse 3, in the gates. And it says in verse 4, she cries unto men. I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. And then it talks about, O ye simple, in the next verse. Understand wisdom, and ye fools. There's no reason that a man that's even maybe IQ-wise or something else, handicapped, he can still go by God's wisdom. And I tell you what, I've seen some fellows with walking around sense that didn't have a degree, but I saw them direct their lives better than some that had the degrees behind their name. I'm forgetting the degree if you get it right and if it tells you something. And if you do use it right, it'll show up in your experience. It'll show up in your lifestyle. It'll show up in your daily struggle. All of that. I've often said this. I don't want young men to come to college and just learn the intellectual side of things. They won't make it. They won't make it. That's why we also have a work scholarship program in the afternoon. And fellas, you might not like it, especially in this Florida sun, but you may be learning more there than you are in the classroom in many cases. In many cases. Because I can chase a rabbit here, but I remember one of the first staff members I ever hired. Young man, good young man. He had graduated a good Bible college at the time. It's kind of gone to the left since then, but it was a good Bible college. And he came here and began to work side of me and was doing the best he knew how, but his experience was very limited. He didn't have much experience before he went to Bible college and what we call that dirty four-letter word, work. And so he was beginning to find out about it. Now, I remember one day right over here in this corner, when we bought this property, it had old houses on it. Some of them we used a while, then tore down. It was doing the best we could do. And there was an old house right over there. And we were out there working in the sunshine around the back of that house, building a fence, tearing down a fence. I don't know. We were doing something. It was pretty hot. And driving a few nails. And he was left-handed. He was missing the nail more than he was hitting it. Wham, man. And but we were doing our best. Directly, he looked at me through the sweat. We were sweating. He looked at me and he said, they didn't teach me when I got my degree how to do this. I said, you hadn't finished learning yet. And some more you're going to learn. You're going to keep on learning. Some of it brings a little sweat out once in a while, too. But you can have wisdom from God and maybe still be dumb in some areas, but you'd be smart in the areas relating to the right things. And like this, it says, ask in faith, ask God for it, but then God wants you to do the part that's your part. And I just don't, well, you just give it to me, Lord. Just dump it on me. No, he still tells you to do some things. And when it comes to studying for a test or something, but wisdom is available. She's in the high place here, top of the high place. She's at the gate, entrance to the city. She cries out to men, to simple men, to fools, as well as others. Then she says in verse 6, hear for what? For I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. I want to tell you today, as the Bible says, the tongue is set on fire of hell, and a lot of wrong things are coming out of a lot of lips. We better be careful. We better be judging right and wrong, and knowing the book and knowing what God says. That is wisdom. That is the yardstick we have to use on all that we are exposed to and hear and all of it that's tried to be dumped on us. And it says here, my mouth, talking about wisdom's mouth, verse 7, shall speak truth. Boy, we're in a day of deception and evil, unbelieving lies today that are told. I am still every now and then almost shocked when I do watch some of the stuff on the so-called news or the political ads or something else. How can they tell such a blatant lie and expect it to be believed? But they wouldn't tell it if it didn't work. Sad to say, it does work. And a pile of people believe it. A pile of people will be misled by it. And a pile of people have no yardstick to go by. You and I that know Christ, we do. We can know what is right and wrong. We have His Word. We can have His wisdom on the thing. So my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. You know, if you're right with God, you don't have a lot of trouble understanding what's wrong. The Holy Spirit inside's grieved. My Holy Spirit and me, I guarantee you, tells me all the time what's wrong. And I used to kind of joke about people talking back to the TV, but I've actually spoke back to that thing a couple of times. What am I doing? Boy, it just is, you know. First church I pastored, things were not as bad as they are now, but they were bad enough. And fake news has been around a long time and all that. But they overreacted. Now, I was not the pastor. I came in just after this. So I do not take any responsibility for it. But the rotten TV, bad stuff began to come. You know, we're talking about TV in the black and white days. There was very little color TV out then. So that's been a while, in the 60s. And some of you can remember there's some bad stuff going on in the 60s. In the streets, riots and stuff happened then. There's a couple of men in my church, preacher, I don't think he was the pastor, I think he was a visiting preacher. He ripped and roared, sort of like Lester Roloff does against TV. He ripped on it. He was telling the truth, just like Brother Lester's telling the truth. But anyway, these two men went home. They got inspired. They went home and took their TVs and set them in the backyard and got their shotguns and just shot them all to pieces. And that happened. I know the man. They've been dead and gone a while, but they just shot the... Now, we can laugh about that. Now, we talk about in the country, near the jumping off place. I mean, no big city there. But an act like that made the news. And it not only made the news in America, some of the missionaries called back from Japan and other places. They'd seen it on the news over there. These two country boys shooting the TV up. Now, we laugh about it a little bit, about that. But the stuff gets under your skin. It is going to happen. We can't correct it all, but we can know the truth and separate the truth from the falsehoods. And we only do that if we go by God's Word. So say, well, where do I get wisdom? Well, we ask God, and then what do? We study His Word. We believe it. We apply it. No doubt about that. Any wisdom here personified. And it says in verse 8, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse and in them. That's the trickery, perverted age we live in today. But wisdom from God is pure and right and correct. And they that are, verse 9, they are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. Now, think about it. We are making choices all the time. We are exposed to this, that, or the other. And I hate to say it, but it's the truth. The Bible speaks about it. It says the love of money does not save money, but it says the love of money is the root of all evil. And what we're seeing today, I've said it so many times, if you look deep enough, you almost always find George Washington or Ben Franklin or Alexander Hamilton. You know what I'm talking about? Well, that's money we're talking about. And it's almost always behind it, one way or the other. Our problems with China and all the sellout and all the rest of it, one of the reasons Trump is hated is because he stopped some fellows that was getting rich off of selling out America. There's no doubt about that. That's exactly. They hate him for that and trying to get rid of him for that. And the more the swamp gets drained, the more we find the garbage that was in the bottom of it all the time. Sad, but it's true. And so here we are. We're told God's instruction rather than silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. Now, the parallel verse to this, not exactly the same quote, and I'll reference it again. Probably by the time I get over chapter 16, you'll forget what I said about chapter 8 anyway. But if you want to flip over to chapter 16, pick it up in verse 16. Now, I'm not a mystic fellow that necessarily believes my lucky number is this or my unlucky number is that or something else. I'm not into that kind of stuff like some folks are. But if I wanted to be, I'd use this verse for it. Go over to Proverbs 16. Pick it up in verse 16. And look what it says. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? Now, here's where this gets personal with me. I was fighting the call to preach, wrestling with God over it. And I was a youth leader teaching Sunday school and a deacon in the church. And I kept thinking God would let me alone, but he kept on calling me to preach. I was driving daily on a job pretty much by myself. So a lot of talking to God, a lot of meditation and short stops. And then I'd wind up driving another 50 miles or something. So that was going on, and that day my area was Lakeland over here, and I mean I was under the burden about the call to preach, and I gave God all the reasons I couldn't do it, especially the big financial reason. Couldn't go to Bible college and just couldn't quit work and all the obligation, all the stuff. And probably right after lunch, early afternoon, I really was suffering from that. I was just struggling. And I'd pretty much caught up to work. But I didn't generally go home very early, but I turned that little car, little Bumblebee Volkswagen, I turned that thing home to Winter Haven about 15 miles as fast as I could get there. Knew my wife, she was working at the bank. I knew she wouldn't be home that early. Didn't matter. I was just struggling. So I come charging up in the yard, jumped out of the car, ran in the house to my Bible. Had a New Testament in the car, but I had my big Bible side the bed in the back bedroom. And I just ran back there and fell on my knees side the bed and grabbed that Bible. And I do not advise you to do this. You young men, look at them. Don't always do everything I say. Just 98% of it. All right. This might be in the 2%. Truthfully. I don't necessarily advise this. People do it. They have done it. And a lot of times it's not good. I think about the fellow that opened his Bible and put his finger down, which is what I did that day. Just blindly opened it and put my finger down. And read about the fellow that did that, and he put his finger down, and it said Judas went out and hanged himself. He said, well, that couldn't be right. So he done it again. Looked again, it said, what thou doest, do as quickly. And so you got to watch out for that stuff. But I done it. When I put my finger down, it was Proverbs 16, verse 16. Now, you got to remember what I was debating in my soul. Quit work. Go to Bible college. instead of earning money, trust God anyhow. And that was what my question was, my struggle was. And I looked down and it said, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold? Wow. And to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. Now, I never forgot that. That was probably that day when I fully in my heart said, no matter what comes, I'm going to go to Bible college. I'm going to get prepared. I'm going to preach. I'm going to do, you know, I'm surrendering to God, whatever he does with me. Now, I surrendered probably more officially than that, but I never forget that. And it was just like I was about to burst. I had to do something that day when I did that. So the number 16 is kind of important to me. My race car number was 16. Have you seen some of the pictures of it, the last major car I drove? And I remember my wife and I got married. Now, you think I'm into the number business, but I'm not. There was a laundry in town. They got these where you take your laundry now and you put in a little money. Guy just opened up one, so we just got married. We grabbed up our dirty clothes and went down there to get them washed. And walked in, and he had a big old gambling-like wheel, like you might think seeing in Las Vegas, homemade, of course. And we did quite a bit of laundry, and I don't know, a few dollars worth. And we walked up there. He was advertising his business. And he said, spin the wheel and pick a number, and if you win, it's free. I never been a gambler. And I said, well, no, we will pay you. He said, no, spin the wheel. Would you believe it fell on number 16? And our laundry was free that day. Now, I can tell you some stuff I'd laugh about now, but I do believe with all my heart God was in it that afternoon to show me that verse, to give me peace about it. And did I do the wise thing? Well, I wouldn't take anything for it now. But boy, was I ever in turmoil that day when I rushed home to do that. Now, please don't come up to me and say it didn't work for me, because I'm telling you not to do it. Amen. Got to be careful. Don't manipulate God. I heard about somebody doing it somewhere. I'm sure I'd heard something, but I don't know why I did that. No, but I did. Now, the best way to get your wisdom is ask God, then do what he tells you. Study, especially study his word. Now, the next thing is make the right choices. Now, we need his wisdom because for the relationships we're going to have in this world. Now, we just had chapter 7, and it continues a little bit, but chapter 7 warned the young man about going after the bad woman and the results and the fall. And so we need God's wisdom for the relationship with other people, especially male and female relationship. Probably the most powerful force of the flesh is the attraction of male and female. Thank God that's the right way in his boundaries and under his rules, which of course is marriage. But the devil takes the most powerful gift God gave and abuses it beyond. In fact, the seventh commandment is almost the most violated of the Ten Commandments. And it's commercialized. And here lately, some of you have probably seen where they're going down to the younger girls, 9, 10, 11-year-old kids, and making pornographic films with them for the regular TV, not the porn, dirty porn crowd, and then putting arguments up that that's good. It is not good. In fact, presidential candidate Biden was seen, and they put him on the showing where he was praising one of the women that was involved in making that film. That stinks. I mean, that's just ridiculous. You wouldn't think a lie that big could be peddled. Anybody ought to know that's wrong. As wrong as it could be. So we need God's wisdom for the right relationship between male and female, boy and girl. That's a big part of life. Fellows, you get the right one, that's a blessing of God. You get the wrong one, and you will regret it. Same thing, girls. Somebody said, whether a man winds up with a nest egg or hen egg depends on the chick he marries. You understand what I just said? It's a big deal. It's important. No wonder God gives so much instruction on it, amen? And he does, and you ought to know what that instruction is. You certainly ought to. Relationship with God's wisdom. And then we need God's wisdom to guide us through this world. This world is a minefield. There is a trap set for you around every corner. The devil is out to get you one way or the other. And we need God's wisdom to walk through it. Some of you military men know what I mean when I say a minefield. When a road has been mined, and we see it on the TV all the time, boys, soldier boys with missing arms and legs, where the machine, or they walked on a mine, or the machine did. Awful thing. I don't know if you remember, it was a great testimony. I don't remember the Desert Storm War. I kind of think it was. I believe it was, you know, over there in the desert where you got sand and wind. And they were told, the platoon was told, this road is mined. And they were already on it. They had to walk through it. They had to get off of it. And so every step was a hazardous step. Every step, one of them was going to be blown up. And so some of the young men that were Christians did a good thing. They prayed, literally prayed. I actually believe I saw some of this on the news. So what good would praying do? Well, they knew every step could be set off a mine. And the story is, and this was talked around pretty good. After they prayed, a breeze came up where there was no breeze. The dry, hot sand desert road. And the breeze came up, blew pretty stiff for a little bit. And when the breeze quit blowing, it had blown the sand off the mines. And you could see the mines in the road. And I did see a picture of that after the sand was blown off of them. All they had to do was like just dodging, walk between them. They could see every one of them. You know, normally they have a thing, you know, they're trying to go around and test it, but sometimes that's too late. God uncovered them. I want to tell you, wisdom of God needs to help you uncover the minds in this whole world. There are all kind of ways to get your heart broke, get your life messed up, and Satan's going to rejoice in every bit of it. And so we need God's wisdom to guide us through this world. Step by step. Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Think about that. And God is concerned. I don't want to tell any more stories here. They take too long. But in my own life, I can look back and see a lot of minefields I missed if God had not revealed them. And I give him credit for that. And of course, we need wisdom to walk with God, not just God helping us through the minefield, but to walk with him in fellowship. In verse 17 here, jumping over a little bit in this chapter, 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Seeking me early, early in life, every day. Taking God into your decisions, having a relationship with him. Then he says in verse 20, I lead in the way of righteousness. If you're not walking in righteousness, you've got no right to ask God to guide your steps. If you're living in sin and doing wrong and you know you are, don't say God uncover the mind. He might have put it there for you. Sad, but true. I'd say to you tonight, I know the scripture says we love him because he first loved us. And some folks will kind of disagree with this verse. You know, God's love is not conditional. Okay, I agree with that. But he says he loves them that love him. He also says he honors them that honor him. So it does matter how your relationship with God is. And the wise man is going to understand that. I wonder sometimes people get in trouble and they jump right in asking God to get them out of the trouble, answer the prayer. It seemed to me like they got so much brush they need to clear away before they could even ask God for anything. So much repenting and turning from what they've been doing to have, and you've heard the statement, have some praying ground with God. I believe there's something to that. I really do. A preacher friend of mine was a little bit bold. I might have got caught some of his stuff. He pretty plain. Lady come up to him one night after the service. He might have known something about it. I don't know. But she said, I want you to pray for me. You know what he said? He said, I won't promise you I'll pray for you. I don't know how you've been living. That shocked the fire out of her. But he stuck by his ground. He said, tell me something about yourself. I don't know if I want to pray for you or not. But she was about swallowing her tongue. She didn't know what to say. Because most of us would be polite and say, yes, I will. He was truthful, so maybe I won't. You know? Well, there's a side to that that we ought to think about. What's our relationship with the Lord? How are we walking with him in righteousness, down the right way? Or are we rebelling at everything that is right that he's told us to do? Big difference, big difference. I challenge you tonight. This is a good book for us as Christians. How are we walking? Are we right with God or not?